Well, we are in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And I'm actually going to be speaking twice, once today and then once tomorrow. And I'm going to be speaking today about what King James said was appear, but as was brought out last night, the truth of the matter is that word should have been translated manifest. And so I'll be talking about that this morning, and then tomorrow morning I'm going to talk about the word glory. The word manifest is the number 5319, and the word glory is the number 1391. The Greek word, it is pronounced phaneroo for the word 5319, and then doxa for the word glory, 1391. So let's start out now by reading these first four verses for the theme of the conference. He says, "If you then," and I sense, and I think it's has the sense of, "since you then have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." It's so important for body members to just to remember this, to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. It keeps us focused. It keeps us going in the right direction whenever we do that, whenever we set our affection on what the Lord has revealed to us. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear or shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory." I want to look at in Colossians 3:3, it says, For you are dead and your life is hid. And that's just the opposite of this being revealed or being manifest or being declared or being made manifest, or it says in another place, to show thyself. So one is invisible, hid is invisible, and this manifest is visible, something that we can see or behold. When we think about our hope, he talks about in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall be manifest, then you also shall be manifest with him in glory." Joe has tried to make the first word manifest and the second word be appear. I'm not so sure we can do that because it's the same Greek word. But what he's trying to do is trying to help us to understand that when Christ is made manifest, it's a lot more than just becoming visible. It's a lot more than that. But when I think about us appearing with him, I think, well, our appearing is much more than just being visible. It's being made known. And I think we're going to be making the principalities and the powers and the mights and the dominions, we are going to be appearing unto them in the heavenlies. That's where this manifestation is going to be taking place. I have thought in the past that glory was a place where it says with him in glory. But I'm not so sure that that's 100% true. The word glory has the idea of glorious, honor, praise, or worship. But I can go to other verses and establish the fact that where we are going to be manifest and where Christ is going to be manifest is in the heavenlies, far above all. So I don't think I have to necessarily make this something that it isn't. I think I can leave it the way it is and then prove that the word, prove what the word glory means, and then go ahead and just establish from other places the fact that we are going to appear, going to be manifest in the heavenlies. So let's go back now to Colossians 1 and verse 15. This is just one way to establish or to think about the Lord being manifest. it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And of course, he's referring to the Son. If we went back up to verse 13, he says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That idea of firstborn doesn't mean born first, but it has the idea of a rank, that he is first in rank. Verse 16, for by him all, and I like to just insert the word the, all these things, because this is that Greek word panta, all these things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. One writer said that he's the atomic glue. He's the thing that holds all the atoms together. It's his force that does that. Of course, whenever we split the atoms, we have this tremendous release of energy. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid, and again, I'm just looking at words that are just the opposite of being made manifest. So he says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Chapter 2 and verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Think about that as body members. God has taken us into the inner circle, and he has given us information, given us knowledge, given us wisdom that was not given anyone else. As I think about us being in Christ, we're special. It doesn't mean we should be puffed up. And it doesn't mean that we should go around boasting about who we are, except who we are in Christ. That's how we could boast, or that's how we could glory. Just going back to verse 2, he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, into all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Then let's go back to Ephesians 3:9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. This had been brought out vividly when we went out for the evening meal last night, and then during the Greek class, that this word fellowship isn't a good translation. It's not the right word. Administration or stewardship is a better word. And I guess I've tossed this back and forth in the last 30 years of my study in the Word, whether which word is the best, which word fits the best. I've even had dispensation in here, but I think, Ephesians 3:9. So he says, and to make all men see, this is the Apostle Paul talking, this is Paul explaining what his ministry is, and to make all men see what is the stewardship of the mysterion. Now, I like to use that Greek word mysterion rather than the word mystery, because the word mystery doesn't quite get it. It doesn't go far enough. It doesn't explain what's being spoken of here. So we just use the Greek word mysterion. That's the word that's there, and then we can grasp and understand all that's meant in that word. So he says, and make all men see what is the stewardship of the mysterion. And you have to think of it, this stewardship was given to Paul, but Paul wasn't just to do like Israel did. Israel, whenever they received God's blessing, they just wanted to keep them for themselves. Their goal, God's goal for them was, is that they would receive the truth and then share it with the rest of the world. Well, being like most of us, being selfish and self-centered, they decided not to do that. They just kept the Lord, just kept the hope that they had, kept it for themselves, and they kind of looked down their noses at the rest of the world, which is not what the Lord wanted. So Paul has been given this message. He's been given this stewardship of this mysterion truth, and he is to show it to others. You can't make anyone see this, and I don't think Paul tried to make anyone see this, but I do think that the Holy Spirit can enlighten us. And so it's up to us as individuals, as saints, to try to make this truth revealed to those that will listen. I find myself spending a lot of time listening to other people to see where they're at, to see if they're interested in this. And if they are, I want to share it with them. If they're not, I don't. To me, it's pointless. You're wasting your time and your effort trying to share this with someone who doesn't want to hear it. And if they tell you they don't want to hear it, fine. Yeah, that's fine. Not everyone that is saved has this hope or has this calling. So he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or the stewardship of the mysterion, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things, to Jesus Christ, to the intent that now and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So again, we've been given this ability to be able to, I like to think of it as being on the inside. We're closer than just servants, although we are servants, but we're sons. And as sons, we've been given an ability to be able to understand what the Father's about, what the Father's doing, what His plans are, what His purposes are. And then God has chosen in His wisdom to share that with us so that we might share it with others. So this is the way this is to continue. Paul is to, he says over in Timothy that he was to teach Timothy, he says to teach men about this, that they might be able to teach others also. So this thing is an ongoing thing, and it was just not something that Paul was to have and understand and then keep to himself. So the truth and the mysterion was completely hidden, revealed through the Apostle Paul. And I'd like to say it was manifest then through the Apostle Paul. And will be revealed in the heavenlies in resurrection. I think it's being revealed now, but if you think about it, the full impact of this, when you think about Colossians 3:4, it says when Christ is manifest, right now He's hidden. So when He's manifest, it's going to be in the heavenlies. And I can still remember Michael teaching on this subject about the Holy of Holies and only one man being allowed in there and being able to see the glory that was in there. And yet, when I think about our Lord, He's going to be revealed, manifest in the heavenlies, and we're going to be have entrance into that place and be manifested with Him. Fantastic. Just fantastic. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16. Don't ask me why we're so blessed that way. I have not had any kind of insight into how God does His choosing other than this. I know that He can see into the future, and I know that He can predetermine whatever He wants to predetermine based on that foreknowledge. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mysterion of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, if you think about this, and you just try to put that word, God appeared in the flesh, it just doesn't quite get it. It doesn't go far enough. But when you start thinking about God being manifest in the flesh, it's Almighty God, the invisible God, being revealed in a man, being manifest in a man. That goes further. There's a lot more information there than just appearing, just showing up. just being able to be seen and to be beheld, made visible. It's more than that. I like the story that, it's not a story, it's the account that Ed was sharing with us about these two saints in Luke 24 who had their eyes open so they could behold the glory of the Lord. It's like they could behold the Christ. And immediately after they knew who he was, he became invisible. He became hidden. So he did his job, he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, and then he was invisible. So, manifest is to become known. If you think about it, all God's plans and purposes revolve around this one thing. He wants to be known. He wants us to spend our time and our energy getting to know him. And I think we attempt it, and then the more we get to know him, the dumber we know we are. You know, so it's almost like we're going backwards, and we need to spend more time getting to know him, because we just don't know him the way he wants to be known. To become known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood. And those of us who are parents, when we are raising our children, trying to turn them into decent citizens, we sometimes are misunderstood. They can't see the end like we can. We've been there, we've done that. So we try to explain that to them, and they think, well, we're old-fashioned, or we just don't get it. We just don't understand where they're coming from. Well, our Lord wants to be completely, thoroughly understood who and what he is to his creation. That's just one of his goals. He's constantly working towards that goal, trying to make himself known, trying to make himself manifest. Let's go over to John chapter 1. This book of John has nothing to do with the mystery. But this book of John chapter 20 verses 31 says that these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing that have life in his name. So when we think about the message that we might be able to bring to the world, even though we would share the mystery with them for anyone who would listen, but for those who wouldn't listen, who don't want this, this is another book that we should send them to. So he says, and I knew him not, but that he should be made. And we have to go back a little bit and just read this. It's John the Baptist who's talking here. We'll go back to 25. He says, and they asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, but Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there's standing one among you whom you know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred, before me, whose shoelaces and not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, and he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. So that this manifestation, or how Christ was being revealed to John, has to do with what was written in the Old Testament. This is that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and he is trying to make him manifest, or trying to make him known. Chapter 2 and verse 11. This has nothing to do with the mystery, but it has everything to do with the way God operates. He wants to be made known. And so this is one vehicle, the word is one vehicle that he is using to make himself known. 2:11 it says, this is the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. When we think about this word glory, we'll be speaking on it tomorrow, but it's who he is and what he has, and then what he does because of who he is and what he has. So when we start thinking about glory, that's the way we want to think about that. Even though glory can be that bright, shining, pure white light, as we think about it from this standpoint, it's a way of making himself known by establishing who he is. And by the way, the Lord didn't go around bragging about himself, about who he was, but rather he let others say excellent things about him. And of course, he wouldn't deny it then. Like it was brought up last night, they asked him the question if he was good. They kind of made the statement that he was good, and then he says, well, why call me good? Only God is good. And so from that standpoint, if they acknowledged that he was good, then they were acknowledging he was God. Well, that was a lot more what most of them wanted to do. They didn't want to acknowledge that this human being was God. They had another God in view, this conquering Messiah. Chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. He says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, or he's saying this. This is one of those statements where he's trying to make this emphatic or pay attention to this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we know, that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. So this was an area where he's talking about where his deeds were manifested. That because they testified about what they had seen. In other words, they could establish what he did, what he had accomplished. And as a result of that, that meant that he was God because of the deeds that he did. So it's another way of saying he didn't have to brag about himself, but rather he could just say, look what I've done. Wasn't it written that I would do these things? And they could say yes, and then they could put those two things together and say, well, this must be the Christ. This must be the one we're looking for. Chapter 7, verse 4. By the way, all I did was take, and I didn't do all the verses of this. Obviously, you'd need more than an hour to do this. But what I did was just look up the word phanerou, which was number 5319, and just looked at some of the verses that were translated, sometimes manifest, sometimes appear. This particular one in 7:4, it says, show thyself. So manifest would fit. You know, I think it would fit, but he says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do all things, show thyself to the world. Manifest thyself to the world. That's the word, phanerou. Chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 9 and verse 3, and it says, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned. Well, let's go back and just read this a little bit. He says in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And he goes on to say, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, there's coming a day when he wasn't going to be there to be able to reveal or to perform these miracles or to do these things like he was going to do this man, which was to give him sight. And so he's doing it openly. Not doing it in the secrecy of night and darkness, but rather doing it in the light. But there'll be coming a time when this type of ministry is going to be no more. It's going to be done away with. John 17, verse 6. I think it's interesting if you just continue to keep in your back of your mind that God is trying to make himself known. John 17, 6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men. Let me go back and read. I got to have the context here a little bit. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power to all over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, or even Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. So if we think about the Lord's service while he was here, he was constantly lifting up the Father. He didn't brag or try to lift himself up, but rather lifted up the Father. And that's, if you think about it, he has set a precedent. He has set a way in which we are to do things also. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name and to the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. 21:1. John 21:1. Here it's translated, showed himself. But again, if we just think about manifest, it fits perfectly well. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And then down the final one in John is in verse 14 that I wanted to look at. He says, this is now the third time that Jesus manifested himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Now, the King James has got showed himself. I can't be too critical against these 70 guys that tried to put a Greek language into an English language, because words change their meaning when this was translated. But I do think that if we are to do it, if we're to study it, if we're to try to find out what God was really in his mind and in his heart, we have these tools that are at our disposal. We ought to be spending some time trying to figure out what was he saying. What's the right word? What's the better word, if there is one? In this particular case, manifest, I think, is a better word. It means more to me than just being visible and being seen. Like I said before, it has that idea of being made known or being made in such a way that there's more than just they know a lot more about him than just his physical appearance. 1 Timothy 3:16, we've already read that one. It's God is manifest in the flesh. The next one we want to go to is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Second Timothy 1:10, and again we got Paul writing a second time now to Timothy, and I'm just going to start there at verse 6. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Something that was done back then, but something that we no longer practice. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, though I think this is still true now as it was when he wrote it to Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, which is Paul. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Like was brought out last night, it's His will. His own purpose, His own will. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Then I want to go to Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but has in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's another thing that I find interesting about the Lord is that the number of words that He preserved and saved and gave to us to be able to get to know Him. There's one passage, I think it's in John, where it says if all the things were recorded, there wouldn't be enough books to record everything. So I think he limited himself to certain words that could make himself known or make himself manifested to us. And not to us only, but as we read in John, also to the rest of the world. Let's see, I want to go to... by the way, this word, excuse me, the second word here, this appearance, is the Greek word 2015, not the 5319. So I think the King James were proper in not translating this word manifest the same in both cases. It says in verse 3, but has in due time manifested His word through preaching. It is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. That may be in the next. That may be in the next one. 1 Timothy chapter 6:14. 1 Timothy 6:14. This is the reason I'm looking at this, is because if appearing was the right word back in Colossians 3:4, if that was the word that the Lord wanted us to know and comprehend and understand, there was a word available. It's 2015, and it's epiphania, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And he says here that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if he meant that, over in Colossians, he had this word available. Paul had this word available, this number 2015, and he could have used that if that's what he meant. It's just another way, in my mind, to establish that appearing wasn't the right word in Colossians because it was 5319 over there, and it's 2015 here. I think there's some similar thoughts here, but this epiphania has more of this brightness, this bright light, this shining forth, like that. That word has more of that kind of meaning than this manifest has the idea of just getting to know, to understand completely. So I think it's important that we see that, see the difference, see that in other words, it's not like Paul didn't have another word he could have used. If he wanted to say appearing, he had one. 1 Timothy 6:14, then we want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, I charge thee, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. And again, this is 2015, not the 5319 that we're trying to consider. The charge that he's giving, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. I have to say that this is certainly prophetic. I know there's just a handful of people here, but the handful of people here, at least in my opinion, are doing it right. And so that's what's important, not the huge numbers. And if we wanted to grow and get bigger, we could do this other type of preaching. We could teach this stuff that appeals to people, that just kind of lifts people up and glorifies man as opposed to lifting the Lord up, and just really trying to understand and comprehend Him. So in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, I was just starting verse 1, he says for context, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. I've got a brother, it's about 3 years younger than me, and just got saved a couple years ago. And he's searching for the truth, but he gets mixed up because he's going to a Pentecostal church, and the instructions that they're giving him really don't line up with the instructions that Paul has given us, our marching orders. So what I've been trying to get him to do is get out of those books that they so heavily lean on, and go into our books, especially the last 7 books that Paul has written, and find out how we are to act, how we are to behave, what we are to do, what the Lord has for us to do. And as I read these verses, I'm thinking this is the truth. All he needs to do now is read it and believe it. It says, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. God's established an order in marriage, and part of it is a result of the sin or the curse that was put on Adam and Eve in the garden. But at any rate, there's this order that the Lord wants us to keep. And whenever we do this, it's a testimony that we believe in what the Lord has said. Young men likewise. And the Lord never leaves anyone out, if you think about it. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is in the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I want to go clear down to 13. He says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, here, it's this number 2015. So appearing, this bright, shining, glorious appearing is what he's trying to describe here. And I think I got some light bulbs that kind of produce this white light. It's almost too bright. It's something you can't look into for sure, but as you're trying to read, and the older we get, we seem like we need more light. That white light that's produced from those little bitty light bulbs is just amazing to me as I see it. And as I think about this appearing, and I think about that white, bright light that's going to be revealed when we are manifest with Him, I think it will be glorious. I think it will be bright. But again, as we think about being manifested, we want to think about this knowledge thing, and this becoming known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood, who and what He is to His creation. And finally, I want to go back to 2 Thessalonians, even though this verse is not to body members, although there was a time early on that I held that this appearing here in 2 Thessalonians was the same appearing that we had just read about in Titus. I disagree with that completely now. I realize that this has to do with his parousia, has to do with his second coming, and has to do with his appearing in his glory in the air. It says that he's going to be manifest in the air. They'll go up to greet him, then they'll return to the earth. It's not a meeting him in the air and then doing a U-turn and going back up in the heavenlies. That's not what's being spoken of here. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming," that's that parousia, "of our Lord Jesus Christ." And by the way, God can manifest himself in several ways. I think he's going to manifest himself to Israel. "And by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We have a group that's going around and saying that all these scriptures have been fulfilled already, that his second coming has already happened. They call those people preterists. As I look at this, and as I read this, and as I think about this, I'm thinking, I don't think the Son of Man or the Son of Perdition was revealed before Acts 28:28. He says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God." I don't think that that's happened. "Remember you not," in other words, I'm saying this is going to happen yet future because God said it would. "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time." And so this son of perdition has to be revealed first. The temple has to be built. He has to go in there. He has to say he's God. He has to be recognized as God, and people have to honor and worship him as God. "For the mysterion of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And that's our word appearing. So again, if Paul meant to say appearing over in Colossians, let's go back to Colossians where we're going to close. If he meant that, he had a word available. He had this word 2015, and he could have Could have used it. It was available. It's not like he had to make up a word. It was already a word available to him. And I'm not trying to say that this manifestation won't be glorious. I'm not trying to say it won't be bright and like a white light. But I think it's more than that. So we're going to read Colossians 3, 1 to 4 again, then we'll just close. He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead." And there again, this is a reckoning. We're not literally dead, but we can reckon ourselves to be dead. "And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with Him in glory." So when we speak to tomorrow, we'll be talking about the word glory. 1391, doxa. Anybody got any questions or comments or anything they want to add? From this group, that's really unusual.
I can't stay quiet on that.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that probably both words are applicable there. I believe that there can be a manifestation as an expression of the act that's taking place. But along with that, the other word can describe, I believe, the brightness that is associated with the actual act. So I believe that probably both words in the case are applicable.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't, I believe it depends on exactly the aspect that he's looking at, of whether it's the manifesting aspect or the brightness aspect of it. It's kind of like the reason we have four Gospels, because you've got four different camera views of the life.
Same event. I couldn't disagree with that at all.
Just as as you were talking about it, I was sitting there thinking, why does it have to be one or the other?
Well, the only point I was trying to make was the fact that the word was manifest and not appearing.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, it's like what you're saying, both things are brought out.
Yeah.
If we just have the word appearing and don't have these two words, then we don't see the whole picture.
Exactly.
We're only seeing part of it.
It's just two camera views of the same
event. Exactly.
Free.
How about, go ahead, Ed. Right. Obviously, we died with Christ. When He died, we died.
Yes.
When He died, we died.
Yes. Amen.
We died. Yes. But alive in Christ.
Amen.
The old man, yeah, considering it.
Go ahead.
The manifestation of Christ we can have today as we study His Word and get to know Him. But the appearing seems to refer to when He returns. So there, in that sense, there would be a legitimate difference.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 4:8, like Paul said, that he will be given a crown, which will be the appearing, not only to him, but all those who have loved his appearing. That's the epiphania that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So we're dealing with three words. Phanero, epiphania, and parousia.
Yes, yeah. Parousia, that's the one in 2 Thessalonians. That's for the Pharisees, not for the church. But like he mentions.
But the word appearing is translated.
Yeah.
Well, the epiphany of that is, I think, is coming here, the parousia.
That was the word brightness.
Can have that brightness associated with it, just like the manifestation.
Yeah, parousia is not the word, but this brightness was the English word that they translated for this epiphania. Yeah, epiphania.
In Thessalonians,
I only read that to show.
Thessalonians, he just showed up in Thessalonians to catch
him away. Yes, to show that he's going to be revealed to Israel in the future. It's similar, but not the same. A manifestation to Israel that's yet future. Yeah, it's just the way God works.
I don't believe we can get.
Amen.
We can't get to the point where we think that we're
And sometimes I think we do that. Well, I think at least people accuse us of that, you know, that we don't consider the other hopes and the other callings, and yet I think we do. We just don't talk about it very much. Like Mike said, we're here to talk about the mystery. But I think it's important that we bring up how God uses a word. Like I read John. John has nothing to do with the mystery.
But I'm glad you did.
He also mentioned the firstborn. The firstborn is Christ, and then the firstborn is Israel. And we are also the firstborn.
Yes.
What sphere are you talking about?
Amen.
We're all firstborn in our particular sphere. The church's sphere is firstborn, and their sphere is the heavenly places. And so he says, Ninois.
Anybody else? Mike? Thanks for staying awake and listening. As I looked out there, I saw everybody was attentive.